And they found a village that was from the time of Jesus, that people lived in the neighborhood of the old city of Jerusalem. And interesting, because they found this that column. And here you have the name of a man, Hananiah. I don't know how is in English. The friend of Apostle Paul, that was the uncle of Mark, John Mark. Hananias. Hananiah is the Hebrew name of Hananias. Hananias ben Dodelo, Dodelo, probably his father, le Yerushalayim, from the city of Jerusalem. It was amazing. You have, for the first time, the name of Jerusalem discovered in ancient Hebrew from the time of Jesus, just like we read today. Even a children that could read Hebrew, of course, can read Jerusalem there. Then we have an inscription of the name Jerusalem, from 2,000 years ago, that they wrote just like we write today. Just a footnote. I discovered in our museum, we have a piece, a plaque of copper from this size with a Phoenician writing. I can't read Phoenician, but I recognize the letters of Phoenician because it's the same letters of ancient Hebrew. For example, you don't read German, but you have the same words in German and in Portuguese and in English. Then you can see a German newspaper and discover, oh, here we have the name Adventist here. It's similar. Then in this piece of copper, I found the name Jerusalem. And now I pick up this piece, took to Jerusalem, and let us wait for the results of the research, if this is real or not. But if it's real, we have the name of Jerusalem of 800 years BC. It's very important. But coming back for that artifact, a column, someone wrote his own name, his father's name, and his city's name. Why that? There was a custom during the time of the Bible, even in the people of outside of Israel, that if you donate with money or your own hand, some kind of help to support the building of important building, for example, a temple, a synagogue, a sanctuary, you have the privilege to have your name, your family's name, the name of your father, the name of your God, writing in the column of that place. Then, probably, the guy that made this column was helping with the donations for the temple, or for a synagogue, or for a sanctuary. For that reason, he has the opportunity to have his own name, the name of his father, and his city, on a column that would be used in a synagogue, for example. And this reminds me a verse of the Bible, Revelation. You can read with me, Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 5, 12, yes. Revelation 3, 12. He who overcomes will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my own name. Did you see? This is a good example that I can give to you, how the artifacts illuminating the Bible text, the scriptures. Okay? Next one. This is a very fascinating finding. It's happening in October last year. Shiloh, do you have Shiloh? Shiloh was the city where the tabernacle, Shiloh is in Hebrew, Shiloh. In Hebrew say Shiloh, in English Shiloh, was the place where the tabernacle was fixed before the Ark of Covenant goes to Jerusalem. Remember that? And they discovered in last October a piece of ceramic, of clay, in a shape of a pomegranate. And when you go to the Bible, you see that on the robes of the priest, you have some bells and pomegranate with pomegranate with a purple. It's one of the robes of the priest. Next one. Oh, this is fascinating me. This is the city of Lachish. In English, Lachish. 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 In Hebrew, Lachish. This city is from the time of the Bible. Lachish was the large city after Jerusalem during the time of the kingdom of Israel. And first of all, let me understand a little bit about the construction of the city. You have here two main entrances. One of that, there, and the second entrance here. Why two entrances in the shape of an L? To difficult the coming of an enemy army. Because if the enemy army goes in that direction, he needs to turn to come here. Okay? Then we have two entrances of the city. And this reminds me the architecture. This reminds me the architecture of a city where David was when he received the bad news of the death of his son. Could you read with me 2 Samuel chapter 18, 44? 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 24. And my Bible says, now David was sitting between the two gates. You see? You have one gate there, another gate here. And David was sitting in some place near here, not in that city, in one city very similar to that one. And here you have a tower, a watchtower to protect the people. And that is what the Bible says. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate, to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running along and brought bad news to David. You understand now? But there is another interesting thing that we see in this gate. Here, you have many chambers, three chambers, one side, three chambers on another side. What is the function of these chambers? People, the customs. When you come to a country, the first place after the passport control is the customs. You need to pay your taxes. This is the place for taxes, to pay taxes. Second, if the king, the governor of the city, has some kind of job demand, this is the right place to be, because it's the place of everyone is going out and go in. It's a very public place. And for a judgment be legitimate, it must be public. That is the place. But they found here, in that section, you see a wall here, a near wall. They found here an altar. Why an altar would be on that place? That used to be a place of judgment. For example, do you remember during the story of Ruth? Ruth, when the elders came to judge the situation of Ruth, they come to the door, the gate of the city. Remember? To the gate of the city. The gate was the place for the public judgment. But there, they found, last July, an altar. Why an altar would be there? Next. See, the altar. Probably there would be a shrine or sanctuary, something like that. But we have another mysterious situation about this altar. The next one, please. When they found the altar behind the wall, the altar was broken. Let me show you another picture. Next one, please. You see, on left side, the altar was broken. Okay, in archaeology, and by the way, even in our life, it's possible to see if something is broken by an accident or deliberated broken. For example, if my cell phone is broken just on the glass, you imagine that falling down. But if someone smash, you see there it's intended to do that. Someone tapped on that, okay? In archaeology, it's the same way. We see a broken artifact of the past, and we can imagine if this broken is a result of the time or someone deliberated broken that. And the altar, you know, have four horns. One horn here, another here, another here, another here, or four corners. And this is broken. Can you see? It's broken. Other thing, the altar was put with the head below. Someone broken and put with the head below. And above the altar, they found this. Can you imagine what is that? What? Place to go to bathroom. Latrine, do you have the word latrine? A latrine. But interesting, a latrine above an altar that was broken and put with the head. Intentional. And that latrine was never used. How will you know that? For two reasons. You don't have pipes there. You don't have pipes. Second, or three reasons. There is no pipe. Second reason. They don't use to put latrines in that place in the cities. It's not a best place to have a latrine. And third one, there is no remains of feces. Human feces? There is no remain there. Nobody never used that latrine. But why a latrine above an altar of the time of the kingdoms? Let us read with me 2 Kings 10, 27. Second Kings 10, 27. We know that we have many religions, reformation made in Judah and Israel, okay? And one of that reformation was made by Jehu, how to say his name? Jehu. And Jehu, the Bible says, verse 27, then they broke down the sacred pillar of Baal, and tore down the temple of Baal and made it a refuse dump to this day. In Portuguese translation, made a latrine. There is some translation. There is a different one? Latrine. Until these days. Of course, the days when the Bible was writing. Then, I use this kind of illustration just to show you that many people are looking to find the chariots of Pharaoh below the sea, the Noah's Ark and all of that. Put your eyes on details. Put your eyes on details. In details you can find what you need and another eyes on the Bible. Small things. Look at the small things. The same with your life. You are waiting God open the Red Sea for you today, and he's giving for you a miracle of a smile of someone. Put your attention on little things, because God used the little things to do great works. Amen? Next one. If you read Isaiah 37, 37 to 38, we have an interesting thing that about the Assyrian king. Isaiah 37, 37, 37 to 38. 37, 37 to 38. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch. Right? Nisroch, his god, and his sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, struck him down with a sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. Where is the place where Sennacherib was praying? Of Esarhaddon used to pray also. This is the tomb of the prophet Jonah, not the real one. This is a Muslim tradition. In Iraq, we have this place. They used to show to the tourists that is the place of the tomb of the prophet Jonah. But you know, ISIS destroyed the place in the war. So when ISIS destroyed the place, they revealed by accident below that building a lot of tunnels. See the next, please. Next. And that tunnels, you have a lot of cuneiform writings with the name of the son of Sennacherib, Esarhaddon, his son. Then we discover the place where Sennacherib has been included, the picture of his son on the walls. These remain millenniums below the earth, and just now they found that. Next one, please. Now, next one. Yeah. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, 25, do you have the word for the governor of city? And they found in Jerusalem this piece of seal with the same word as Sa'ir. Sa'ir, that is the prince or the governor of the city. Same expression that will appear in the Bible, in the critics of the Bible says that this kind of a job does not exist. The last one that I would like to show you, next one. This is a very important seal. Unfortunately, it's broken. Let me explain to you. I excavated in Israel in a place using the debris of the Temple Mountain. The Temple Mountain, where is the Dome of the Rock, is impossible to dig there, because if you dig there, you proclaim the Third World War. It's impossible. But some years ago, the Muslims themselves started to do a restoration of the building, but clandestine. Do you have this word clandestine in English? Clandestine. There is no authorization, no legal, was not a legal procedure. And they took more than 100 trucks full of debris from the Temple Mountain and put it out outside of Jerusalem. Then Gabriel Bakai saw that mountain of debris and said, oh, This is a rich for the archaeologists. Then we started to sieving that. The name is Sieving Project. And we found many, many things there, included, for example, a seal of the king Zedekiah. Zedekiah, now I'm talking about the king. And near there, they are excavating what possibly is the palace of David, the fortress of David in Jerusalem. And the Latmazar discovered in that part of the fortress of David this piece of seal. Let me explain to you the seal. You have the seal impression. This is the seal impression. You have the seal impression in the seal, by the way. In the Southern University, you have now in the museum a lot of seals from biblical time. And when I have a letter to send for you, I put the letter just like that, and I bend the letter, and I put my seal with a piece of clay. Then you, when you received, okay, no one read this before me. Just you, there are the recipient have the right to see this. Okay, then you broken the seal and started to read. That is the reason why it's broken. But let me tell you two things before to go. When they burned Jerusalem, all the papers that was made of papyrus burned out. But the clay of the bulla stay, because the clay on the fire stay more strong. Then we find many of them. Another interesting customs and manner. When I am sending a letter for you, I put one seal. But last will, in the Roman times, a last will need to have 7 seals. Why? Because the last will is reading before 7 witnesses. You understand? Okay, all my property belongs to my son. My animals belongs to my elder son. And the witnesses saw that. We closed them. And all the 7 witnesses put 7 seals here. Who can open that? Who has the right of the heritage? The son. Yes. Now, you got it? You understand the book of Revelation. John saw a book with 7 seals. What was that? The will of Christ. Which is the property of Christ that belongs to the... No, the will of God. God. What is the will of God about his property? Belongs to Christ. But we are waiting for the inheritance of God. And John started to cry. Why no one was able to open, no one was the worthy to be the heir of God. Except Jesus Christ. Do you understand the symbol of the 7 seals? John is using some kind of, if the revelation in the Bible would be writing in the United States, the Holy Spirit would use some kind of manners and customs of the United States. I was explaining to someone during this morning, before to come to the United States, many things of here I could not understand, but I saw in the movie. Actually, my first impression when I come for the first time to United States is that, oh, it looks like that I'm inside of a movie. You understand? Yes, my association with the movie, the cops and a lot of things, the streets and the houses. Now I understand the United States. Now I understand better the movies because I have been in the United States. just like the Bible. But let us come back to this seal. Eilat Massar discovered that seal, and it's impression because the first line, unfortunately, is broken. The second line is possible to see. You have a lamed here. That's a letter in Hebrew that means belongs to. Okay? Lamed means belongs to. For example, if I say, La Rodrigo belongs to Rodrigo, then we have the name here, Ishayahu. Ishayahu is the Hebrew name for Isaiah. And in the third letter, line, we have Le Nav. Unfortunately, is missing the last letter. If the word is Navi, Navi means in Hebrew prophet. Probably we have a seal of the prophet Isaiah. I just can't affirm that it belongs to Isaiah because it's missing the last letter, an aleph, of the word Navi, prophet in Hebrew. Just come back. You understand me? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't affirm that it belongs to Isaiah, but we have a good possibility. Yes. Despite of Revelation or Apocalypse is some kind of literature that use symbols to represent realities. But know all the small things of the symbols represent something. Okay, for example, I can't find in Revelation a correspondent of seven witnesses of God. Or I can tell you that the witnesses of God is the prophet and the servants of the past. Why I am telling that? Because in Revelation 11, you have two witnesses. There is the Old and the New Testament, or the Law and the Prophets. And these two witnesses behave just like Elijah and Moses. You see? They have ordered to bring the plagues and to stop to rain, and is proclaiming Jerusalem, the Law and the Prophets, that is the Scripture for us, ancient and new, old and new Testament. Probably the witnesses of God is going to be the servants, the prophets, just like he told to John, the spirit of the prophets came to tell you, John, what's going to happen. Revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him to show to his servants what's going to be, and he, through John, that's my position. The witnesses are the prophets and the servants of God in the past. And the angels, by the way. And the angels and the people of the no fallen roads that is seeing the great controversy. You know, many times, just this is not part of my speech, but I would like to tell this for you. I was wondering, oh, so nice to be part of the no fallen world, because we are suffering here, but they are so well, they have no death, they have no pain, no suffering. Just us in the earth are suffering. No. The Bible says the nature claim for its redemption. Christ died on the cross by the humankind. But the results of the redemptive act of Christ is for the universe. Then let me compare the feelings of the creatures of God around the universe. Wayne, do you have a son?
I do.
You have. Imagine that your son is in the hands of a bad guys of ISIS. You are not being tortured. You are not being hungry. You are not being in danger of risk of life. Your son is. But despite of that, you are not comfortable. Yeah. You cannot eat very well. You cannot enjoy your life very well. You cannot smile very well because your son is in danger. And you feel that. The same with the creatures of God around the universe. They are seeing what is happening in this planet. And this is not good for them. They are suffering also. They are waiting for the second coming of Jesus just like us. Do you understand? Okay, next one. One more. Yeah, this last is the ring from Pilate. Actually, it was discovered 50 years ago, but nobody could read what was there. Then now, with some kind of technique in microscopic reading, they could find that you have the word Pilate on the ring. This belongs to the man crucified Jesus. This belongs to Pilate. You see? I can't, by archaeology, prove that Jesus Christ is God. I can't, by archaeology, prove that we have a Holy Trinity in the sky, in the heaven. But I can, by archaeology, prove that the history of the Bible is a real history. Then, if the history is real, the theology that is upon this history is going to be real also. That's the whole of archaeology. Okay, Scotty, can you change the presentation, please, for the prodigal son? It's just an introduction that I would like to give for you. Now, I have an exercise with you. I'm going to look at the archaeology and Bible to see if the manners and customs of that time help me to understand better a very famous passage of the Bible, the parable of the prodigal son. Let us read with me Luke chapter 15. You know the story. Luke 15, verse 11, and goes. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days later, after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began so being want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods of the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worth to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you and in your sight. I am no longer worth to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and he's found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon this son of yours came, you have devoured your your livelihood with harlots. You killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make a merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Please, leave your Bible open. Next, please. This is a beautiful story, you know, a huge story of the Bible, one of the most famous that Jesus told, one of the most famous parables. But I had some problems with that parable. Please, remain with your Bible open. Next one, problems. Number one, the principal character is the prodigal son. Maybe the older? Father, yeah. Because if you put the younger or the older one, the bad guy is going to be the principal character. You understand? I don't remember. What is the name of the murderer, the guy that killed Lincoln? Bean? No, it's from Kennedy, I think, no? I forgot. Ghost Booth, I think that's the one. Imagine, if you are telling the story of Lincoln, you not tell the story of John.
That's right.
He's the bad guy. He cannot be the principal character of the story. This is my first problem. Second problem, it appears to bring a situation of injustice against the older son. Imagine, Frank, God blessed you with a company, you and your wife, and you have two sons. Imagine with me. One of them wake up early in the morning, work in the company all the time, learn everything about the business, to control the business, the financial resources, the budget. But you have another son that spent his life in parties, drunks, pubs, drinking, with harlots. You receive a calling from the police, or your son crashed the car, you came here to the prison to take him, you need to contract a lawyer all the time. And one day, this guy came to you and said, Daddy, I'm going out. I would like to live my life. Please, sell the company and give me my money. Yeah, but let us imagine first, before the older son, thinking about the young one. If a young came to the father asking that, it's fair that the father attend his request? Mentally, but what do you think? Legally, it's not fair. You're right. But I'm not a father. I'm asking to you as father because you have children.
My love for my son would say, okay, take it.
Yeah. But it's a good thing. You're helping him to do that. But imagine you can explain. Yeah, but yes, but before to see the theological reasons, okay. We are trying to find the problems. Imagine a father that do that. What kind of father is going to be?
Loving.
Loving?
He's helping the son live a bad life.
A weak father. In our perspective, a weak father. We are going to the love father. But before reading, because as we are Christians, we are reading to find some solutions. But imagine if you are a no Adventist reading the Bible for the first time. It's a weak father. I'm not agree with him. Yeah, your son, he has no mind. He has not a smart guy. He has no responsibility. And he asks you the half of the company, and you say, give the money to him. Yeah. That is another problem with this story. The third problem that I have, but we answer all these problems, okay, through archaeology. The third problem that I have with this story, there is no end at all. Remember how the stories end? The father, where? Outside, trying to convince the older. And what happened? What's the next question? Yeah. He accept or not? Yeah, but in that situation. We don't know. The Bible does not tell. The Bible stopped the narrative with the father asking him, but he accepted or not. Let us see through the eyes of archaeology. Let us see the same story through the eyes of archaeology. Yes, Rainy. You have good glimpses? Glimpses. You have good insights. Remy told about the financial relationship. You told about the Frank told about the spirituality, and you said about the honesty in feelings. What is not a free coming back? Someone must to pay. Anything is for free. Someone is paying. Nothing is for free. Let us look the Bible again. In your Bible, what is the first word in verse 11 when started the prodigal son parables? What is the first word that appeared here? What is the first word? Them. You understand English very much better than me. When I use the word them, it's implied that is something before. Imagine, Remy, you came now here and I said, them, you're gonna, what he's telling? Because when I started a sentence telling them, or some Bible translates so, we imagine that is something before. And how can I, and how I need to study the Bible? Seeing the context. What is before this story? Look at your Bible. La lost? Lost coin. Next, please. Last coin. A woman that has a quantity of coins. He lost one of the coins. Okay. And when she found, she was so glad. Okay. But how we started the parable of the lost coin? Verse 8, with the first word that appeared there. Or the same. If I'm coming here and I'm telling you, or we go to the Nashville. Or what? Then we have something before that link it. Do you see? What is before? Next one. The lost sheep. And the parable of the lost sheep do have, unfortunately in my translation, they lost, but in the verse 3, so he spoke this parable. So that is something before. And chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, we have a them here. There is no part of the original Greek. Forget this them. But we have here them, all the tax collectors and the sinners draw near to him to bear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Interesting. Next, please. This was the kind of meal that Jesus had. We imagine the meal just like the Last Supper of Leonardo da Vinci, everyone sitting down there. That is the how the people used to sit in the time of Jesus for a meal. And in what, which part of the house would be Jesus be? Because I remember to hear a theologian man from Germany, a German theologian, saying, oh, this is a myth of the Bible. Because imagine, Jesus is eating with sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees appear just like a ghost in the place. It's impossible, because the Jewish people would not be in the same place as the sinners. But this famous theologian did not pay attention on archaeology, on the manners and customs of the Bible times. Next, please. Here we have some houses of Jesus' time. And the 90% of the houses has this place here, on the top of the roof. Roof. This name is named Upper Room. Why? Imagine a place of a very high weather. The days were so hot. The people used to be, majority of the time, on the top of the roof. Would be better than to be below. For example, do you have here, on the top of the roof, some fishes? The people put there. They prepare the food here, and they used to eat here. The Last Supper of Jesus was in a place just like that. Did you understand? And imagine that everyone that is walking on the streets can see a family eating on the top of the roof. Next one, please. I have an example here. Do you have a village of the Jesus time? Do you have the synagogue here? Do you have a house here? See the man? Do you have a woman here? Do you have a man here? This reminds me when Jesus was in Matthew chapter 24, telling about the second coming, he said, if someone says to you, he's out in the desert, don't go there. If someone is in the top of the house, don't go down to take anything. Remember that? Because the people used to remain on the top of the houses. Are you with me? Okay? Imagine, here do you have the entrance of the house. Here is the place where Jesus was eating with the sinners and tax collectors. Probably, this happens in the house of Matthew, Levi Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector. Probably this could be in the... Zacchaeus, but probably it's going to be in Galilee, Zacchaeus, but probably it's in Matthew's house. Jesus was sitting here on the upper room eating, and the Pharisees was here. And from here, it's possible to see. Do you imagine? Hi! Shame on you, Jesus of Nazareth. Shame on you. You pretend to be a rabbi, a Messiah, but you are eating with this kind of people. Shame on you. And the disciples stop to yell against the master. No, your master, he's eating with sinners and tax collectors. What Jesus did? He started to yell to them. What do you imagine? Jesus was a polite man. He would not start to yell. Ah! Jesus coming down. Jesus coming down. Left the sinners and tax collector here. Left the table. Coming down. Come to the door. And he started to talk to them. Jesus came and said, are you upset? Yes. Okay. May I tell three stories for you? Interesting, because first of all, Jewish people love tell stories. They love tell stories. They love. But even us today, if you are angry or in a discussion, and I say, okay, Remy, may I tell you a story for you? I don't know how to say in English, desarmar. Imagine the situation. Someone is prepared to you. And when you and put your guns back, down. Put your guns down. Put your guns down. And you make him to put the guns down. Do you understand the expression?
Disarmed.
Disarmed. You disarmed him. Oh, similar to Portuguese. You disarmed him. The ship was lost inside of home or outside of home? Outside of home. The ship knows that she is lost? Yes. Who has an animal? Animal knows when the animal is lost. For example, a dog. If a dog lost the ways of home, the dog is trying to find again. A cow, even the birds. Let me ask you again. The ship was lost inside of home or outside of home? And the ship knows that she's lost? Yes. Then I have a reality of someone that is lost outside and knows that is lost outside. Second story, the lost coin.
Inside.
And the lost know that is lost? No. Then you have the reality of someone that is lost inside and does not know that. And the third story, you're right, Hemi. You have the parable, not the prodigal son. You have the parable of the loved father, and two lost sons. One lost outside the prodigal, just like the sheep. The second one lost inside the older, just like the coin. But I have other things to show to you. Let us see the image of farm of that time. Next, please. Remember, Jesus Christ is telling this story at the door of the house. Remember that? Okay. Next one. This is how it used to be a farm on biblical times. We imagine sometime a plain land, but they did not have plain lands. Judea has a lot of hills. Then they need to plant the plantation, the agriculture, in terraces. Okay? Imagine the terrace, something like that. Then you have here the plantation, terraces, or the plantation, and here is the house of the owner. But interesting, because the farmer, the owner of the land, has just one chamber. And the other is the houses of the servants. The house of the servants used to be together as an extension of the house of the owner. You understand? As an extension. You have all together there. It's some kind of reminiscence. Do you know that word or not? Reminiscence? That will remind reminiscences of the patriarchal time. Because in patriarchal time, how most together you stay, more safety for you. Okay? More safety for you. Then the people used to be together. Let me repeat. The house of the owner has an extension that is the house of the servants, all together. Just like in the next, please. See? Something like that. Remember when Christ said, don't be upset on your hearts, John 14. I don't know how it is in English. Believe in God. Let not your heart be in trouble. Believe in God, believe also in me. Because man's mansions. As a Western people, we imagine many mansions. But for the disciples, Jesus was promising that. Many rooms in a farm of my God, you'll be protected. All together. Second thing, you have just one entrance for that place. And you have the atrium, and the houses. Interesting, because I made an interesting experience when I was among the Bedouins in the desert. Because the Bedouins have some kind of culture, very, very fantastic, because they encapsulated the culture of biblical times. And just like to put some culture of the past encapsulated inside of a refrigerator. And you can conserve that kind of culture. For example, Bedouins used to eat with hands until today, to sit down on the floor, laying when are sitting. For example, they don't know how to write or how to read, but could tell by memory the name of a dozen of ancestors. Just like Bible. I remember to talk with one of them using a translator, of course. They speak some kind of a dialect of Arabic. And I said, why do you memorize, or do have by heart, the names of long, long, long ancestors? Why this is important? Because they are obligated, even the daughters, to know that. Oh, he told me, it's because if someone of our tribe lost in the desert, and he meets another Bedouin. Who are you? I am Rodrigo, son of Wilson. Yeah, what more? Wilson, that's the son of Edmundo. That is a son of the tribe of Defdata. At the same time that you are talking about your ancestors, he reminding his own ancestors to see if there is some kind of a relationship or enemy. Friendship there, relationship there. Oh, you are my relative. I can help you. That is very important to them to know the lineage. That is the reason because the Bible says about the genealogy of Jesus, genealogy of death, so important. It's amazing to learn that with them. And I did with them the same kind of experience made by Kenneth Bailey. Kenneth Bailey was a missionary among the Bedouins of Lebanon for many, many years. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to tell to them some stories of the Bible. And I told to them the story of the prodigal son. The reaction, no, you're lying. It's a lying story. And they are so passionate when they are expressing themselves. They use their hands or the body. They don't speak just with the mouth. They speak with the body, with a lot of things. No, it's not possible. Why? You never saw a son asking the portion to the... No, never mind. No, never, never. And if one of your child do that, we smash him, spank him, and expel him from the tribe. In some place, stone him. Because they are Muslim. Why so disgusting this kind of request? Because the inheritance just came upon the father's death. And if he is asking the portion, he is asking for the death of the father. And in a patriarchal culture, because of the figure of Mary in the Catholic Church, we have the central figure of our lives is the mother. Mother, you don't just have one. You know that expression? Mother, just have one. But in the Eastern culture, the central figure is the father. And to came to a father and said, I want your death. It's just like to kill a daughter and rape a daughter and kill the daughter. Do you imagine? Yes, already. That's the reason why I. But let us see the Bible again. Do you understand the sin of the prodigal son? Very bad sin. But see the Bible. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to him. It's right? To them, both. The older accepted his portion. The only difference between the older and the younger was that the older was not free to speak about his feelings. Yeah, God, you know, Wayne, I think God is less offended by the sincerity of the sinner than for the hypocrisy of a saint. You understand what I mean? That's the reason why I don't like the title, The Prodigal Son, or The Parable of the Prodigal Son. I prefer The Parable of the Loved Father, and two, Loved Son. One just like the sheep, other just like the coin. And you know the story. There is another important thing. Next one, please. When he came to the house, next? I think that is no wonder. Okay. Sometimes they change. When they came to the house of the father, he need to go through the gate. And to reach the father's house, he need to pass through the houses of the servants. Okay? Do you remember what the Bedouin told me that happens to a young and he do that in his tribe. We were going to smash him, spank him, expel him. Do you think, Frank, that the younger son could reach the father's house with the servants? No. Why? That's the reason why the father ran. How many time? It's 3 o'clock, yeah? 3? Okay. I thought there was 3:30. I'm sorry. But I'm finishing. Why the father run? Let me explain you something. In the culture of the ancient Near East, the elders could not run. That's the reason why the elders use long robes. Because an elder needs to walk. You cannot run. The young people use short robes. But the elders, long, because they don't run. To run was a dishonor for an elder man. When the father ran, he attracted upon himself disgrace and shame. It was not that God made for us. And when he came, Remy, could you stand up just for a... The Bible says that, imagine. Oh, do you have your name writing in hieroglyphs here? The same. Just people of the same social position could embrace each other. People of different position need to kiss the feet or the hand. But the father embrace. When I embrace Hemi, there is just one place he can kiss me. And kiss it. Make equal. Thank you. Make equal. God did the same. Next. Say there is someone on the truck. I need to show something else. Next. I think that, yeah. Could you, someone see? I need to show some. I think there is nobody there. Oh, no, no. Yeah. Thank you. Here you come. See, I told you that the daily meals would be on top of the roof. Remember that? But when you have a special meal that you need to invite everybody, it's going to be in some place below. Then you have a big meal here, Mary, and the oldest son come here. And listen to the dancing and music and refuse to go in. When he refused to go in, he was offended the father again. Remember the story of Vashti, the queen Vashti? Why she lost the queenship? Because she refused to go into the party of the king. This guy refused to go. He offended twice the father. First, because he received his portion of the goods. And second, because he refused to go into the party. What the father did? Left people there, walked, dishonored again himself, walked until here, and he started to talk to the son. My son, everything that I have belongs to you. You are always with me. But it was necessary that you will be married because your brother was dead and he's alive. And as I asked during the at the beginning of that presentation, why that parable has no end? Simple. Next one. Where did we start? Jesus left the people in the upper room, coming down to talk to the Pharisees at the door of the house. And he finished the story in the same situation that he himself was with the Pharisees. The Pharisees understood the culture of the Middle East. I need to explain to you, but not for them. That was his culture. The Pharisees was very angry with the behavior of the older son because he refused to go in. And he asked, okay, we are in the same situation. Are you going to come in with me and we eat with them and accept them? Or are you remain outside here? That's the reason why the parable has no end. Because we need to write the end of that parable for ourselves. Are you go in to participate or stay outside this claim? Who are you in that parable? The lost coin, the lost sheep, the older or the younger son? I don't know. But the most important is that you have a woman, a shepherd, or a loving father looking for you, crying for your name, decided to save you. God is more wanted to save you than a mother to take off a son in a foreign home. Let the Holy Spirit fill your heart. Let the grace of God save you day by day.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.